It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio. A look at the growing marijuana industry in Alaska. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. And now, The Buzz.
Welcome, everybody, to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and live all over the lands and KFARradio.com. I'm Joe Hatchie, and I'm in the studio with my brother and co-host, Sam Hatchie.
Hey, thanks, brother. We have the great pleasure of sitting down with Scott McCray here from Explore Fairbanks. How are you doing, sir?
Good. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yeah, excellent, excellent.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to have you sitting in our studio here, and really excited to talk a little bit more about Explore Fairbanks and how it's here to help our community and get people coming in and exploring Alaska, if not just Fairbanks itself. So
absolutely.
Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born and raised down in southeast Alaska, Ketchikana region, a lot of logging camps out on Prince of Wales Island. And 87, graduated from Ketchikan High School and made the journey north to attend the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Plan was to go for 1 year and then transfer out. And 35 years later, I'm one of those guys, right, that came to Fairbanks thinking just going to be here just a little bit of time. And then you just fall in love with the community and you raise a family. And here I am. Yep. So many, many years later.
Oh, excellent. That's fun. So when did you get involved with Explore Fairbanks originally?
Well, my first stint was back the late 90s after I graduated from the university degree in journalism, print journalism, not a radio guy. I worked then. It was the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau. So I worked for them a couple of years. I managed this was back when the Visitor Information Center was the log cabin Avenue, home of the Yukon Quest work orders. I did that, but then I went back and I worked for the university. Mm-hmm. Spent time up there in marketing and public relations for the university, the downtown campus here for the school district. And then in 2014, I just kind of stumbled really back into the visitor industry. Took a job for what's now known as Explore Fairbanks as the director of tourism.
Excellent.
So, and then, last summer after our former president CEO, Deb Hickok, resigned, after 22 years of just amazing leadership to the organization, mm-hmm. I decided to throw my hat in the ring for the position, and I guess I sold myself okay to the board of directors, because here I am now, a little more than a year of being at the helm of the organization.
Well, that's fantastic. Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about Explore Fairbanks? Is it a 501c?
We're what's known as a 501c63, which is similar to what the Chamber of Commerce is here. And mm-hmm. Basically, we're the entity, the marketing entity that sells Fairbanks. That's what we do. We market Fairbanks as a destination to visitors domestically and internationally. We market Fairbanks to travel media to come here and write stories about Fairbanks. We market Fairbanks to meetings and planners to come hold meetings and conventions here. And it's all about bringing people into our community and contributing to the local economy. Visitor industry is huge. It's huge for the state of Alaska. It's huge here for Fairbanks. It's one of the great places about where we live is that we have this home here where people literally from around the world mm-hmm. aspire to come here. But to come here, they've got to know about the place. And that's what we do. We get those messages out there to tell people why they should come to Fairbanks.
So you had mentioned Fairbanks is kind of a stepping off point and a gateway. Where else do you guys promote? Not just Fairbanks and Fairbanks activities, but...
Fairbanks, our title is Explore Fairbanks. So it's all about bringing visitors to interior Alaska within the borough, city mm-hmm. of North Pole and so forth. But we also consider ourselves as a jumping off point for people to explore other parts of Alaska that are close to Fairbanks. So Denali National Park, uh-huh. it's the number one destination within Alaska for some visitors in the summertime. You know, we're 2 hours away driving, 4 hours by the train. So we market ourselves as the base camp to Denali National Park. And then going up north, up across the Arctic Circle, we consider ourselves the gateway to the Arctic.
Yeah.
Because Fairbanks International Airport is the closest airport in Alaska that people can fly into to go and explore those other parts of Alaska. We want to keep them here in Fairbanks as much as we can, mm-hmm. Contribute the economy here. But we know because those other areas of such high interest, if we can bring people here to Fairbanks and then they go off to these other areas. It's kind of a win-win situation.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Are there other entities like this throughout the state and other regions?
Yeah. Well, you have. So we'll start at the top. So there is what's known as the Alaska Travel Industry Association. That's the statewide, that's the Alaska marketing agency. So they're like the destination marketing organization for all of Alaska. And then within each of the major regions within the state, you have similar organizations such as ours. And they all have that kind of adventurous action item name attached to it. So we're Explore Fairbanks, and Anchorage is Visit Anchorage. Juneau is Travel Juneau. Kodiak's Discover Kodiak. And then for some reason, Matsu is Yahoo. I'm not sure why, but that's what they got, and that's and they run with that. So, yeah, but it's all. But the cool thing about that model is it's one of cooperative marketing. So, ATI, Alaska Travel Industry Association, about people come to Alaska, and then we mark each one of our regions market with them to say, when you come to Alaska, be sure that you come to Fairbanks, and then within Explore Fairbanks, because we're a membership partnership. Organization, we have the local tours and attractions, hotels and restaurants that say, hey, when you come to Fairbanks, be sure to come and go on my tour, stay in my hotel. So it starts, bring people to Alaska. We try to bring people to Fairbanks, and then our 350-some partners trying to bring them to their specific place of business. So it's a good model.
Awesome. What are some of your favorite attractions? Aurora viewing, ATV rides? You know,
well, see, I'm not going to name. So we are a membership organization, so I'm not going to be name specific here in case I get a little hot water. So there's so many things. It is so different from one season to the next. And from the outdoor activities, the kayaking and hiking in the summer, snowshoeing, skiing in the wintertime, Northern Lights viewing, I just can never get enough of that. I mean, I remember I am just as amazed by the Northern Lights now as I was the very first time I saw them. And what's really cool, because that's a big part of what brings people here to Fairbanks, is coming to see the Northern Lights. And we, in fact, have developed, we call it the Aurora season, because people always know, okay, I want to come to Fairbanks and see the Northern Lights. What's the best time to come? So we gave the Aurora season the dates of August 21st to April 21st as being the time frame of which you can see them. Now, we always joke, that means, well, if someone comes on August 20th, are they not going to see them? Because it's not like August 21st. We fire up the Northern Lights generator, and they pop up in the sky. But that helps give visitors know when's a good time to be able to come and see them.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and KFARradio.com. We're here with Scott McCray.
So if a local business wanted to get involved with Explore Fairbanks and promote their business and get more traction, how would they do that? Who do they contact?
Yeah, so we have one of the departments within our organization, excuse me, is Visitor Services and Partnership Development. Can contact them, or heck, for that matter, contact me as well. And we can kind of walk them through the membership process, all that it entails. It's a membership fee is $250 a year, and then there's some different things people can add on in terms of different advertising opportunities. But it's, I'd say, one of the biggest values of being a partner of Explore Fairbanks, you get to be in our visitor's guide, you get to be in our website, have a space at our visitor information center for a brochure, et cetera. But it's ability to network with other industry businesses and make those connections within the local visitor industry.
That's fantastic. Now, if you're a part of the public, and since you are a semi-non-for-profit organization and you have if you have fundraisers, if people wanted to get involved and volunteer their time, who would they contact? Who would they call, and how would they reach out to?
Let's put me out there too. Yeah. So, yeah, let's just start. Yeah, start with me. We don't we're trying to get back into the business of doing some various fundraisers. We did have our big event for many years was called the Walk for Charity that we did in May. It was people would do it was a walk, about a 3-mile walk around downtown Fairbanks. There were different food vendors set up, so it was eating along the way, and it was raising, people could raise money for their favorite nonprofit in town. Pandemic changed how we do events just all across the board, so we're kind of revisiting that and looking for some other ways throughout the year we can do some different pop-up events. And it's more so about getting our industry involved and giving to the community in some manner. I would say the main thing for the public to do, to put this message out there, is to come down to the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center, which is where we're based out of. If you haven't been there, it's an amazing visitor center. and just get a chance to learn more about all that Fairbanks has to offer. You know, mm-hmm. what the things that we offer our visitors who are coming here, these are things that are here for locals as well to explore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people will grow up somewhere and say, well, I never went to this place or that place. There's so many great places here in Fairbanks for the residents who call this place home 365 days a year should come and see.
So where is that visitor center located?
Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitors Center. It's right across over on Wendell Street across from Tanana Chiefs Conference. It's been our home for about 14 years. We have our visitor services there. We have the Alaska Public Lands Information Centers there. Tanana Chiefs Conference has a cultural program there. Amazing exhibits. There's a museum within the space itself that showcases year-round life in Fairbanks. It's a beautiful facility.
Awesome. Awesome. So touch on that a little bit more about the year-round tourism here. A lot of places throughout the country and Alaska, for that matter, has a kind of a seasonal tourism.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So what makes Fairbanks a little bit different?
Yeah. It's funny. We just got back. I mentioned the Alaska Travel Industry Association just had its statewide convention a couple weeks ago down in Sitka, and a lot of mm-hmm. businesses and destinations, they were saying, oh, thank goodness the season's over, because they are summer-focused, especially in southeast Alaska. And here in Fairbanks, we're very fortunate to have our industry diversified, that it is year-round. Summer is still peak, but mm-hmm. as we go into the winter months here with the Aurora season underway, we have visitors who come here all throughout the year. February and March are huge months here. In the wintertime. I mean, March, we will say like March is the new June. If we look at what's happening with visitor traffic and hotel occupancy rates and so forth.
Really?
Again, it's driven by the Aurora, but we also have, you know, we can say we have guaranteed winter here in Fairbanks. you never want to say guaranteed when it comes to Mother Nature,
yeah.
but we can guarantee winter here in Fairbanks. So for people who are looking for dog mushing, ice fishing, skiing, doing anything that relates to the snow, the World Ice Art Championships. So they're coming here for the Northern Lights, but then they're enjoying this robust offering of winter products that we have, as well as, you know, the culinary scene with breweries and food trucks and stuff. We have an amazing, amazing place here. We're very fortunate, like I said, to have that industry spread out 12 months a year.
Well, you know, I live here and I love Fairbanks, but it's crazy when people are like, hey, I want to see negative 30. It's like a destination. I'm trying to go somewhere warm for as long as I possibly
Most
can.
Most people just want to see it on the sign so they can run up and take a picture.
The 40 Below Club.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. I have yet to make the actual run. I've halfway jumped out of the truck and taken a picture from the sign.
Nope.
I haven't made the run, yeah. That's funny. So, where do you see Explore Fairbanks moving forward into the future?
Well, you know, we're still kind of on the road to recovery. You know, the pandemic just seriously impacted the visitor industry, you know, globally. That, mm-hmm. I mean, we look back to 2020, just how devastating it was for our economy and our industry. And in some ways, you know, 2 years later, there's recovery in terms of visitation. We had a really good, solid summer. Winter season looked good based upon the ways that we track, looking at hotel occupancy rates, airport arrivals, and departures. So the industry's rebounding. The challenge we're having is, and it's like every other industry in the world, is the labor shortage of not having the people within the jobs to meet the demand of the visitors coming in. So a big thing we're trying to figure out is how do we get more people back into the leisure and hospitality industry so mm-hmm. that we can have restaurants that are open 7 days a week instead of five. And, you know, tour mm-hmm. companies aren't having to turn away clients because they don't have enough guides. So workforce development is a big part right now, because we can bring all the visitors we want throughout the year, but if we don't have the people in place to be able to serve them, it's not a good situation.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of curious, you know, people like we just had our census, and we've discovered that our population is dwindling a little bit.
Yeah.
But I still feel there's plenty of people in town to occupy these jobs. It's just kind of curious that you're having a labor shortage. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's every industry. Like I said, the pandemic definitely shifted people's perceptions of how they wanted to work and mm-hmm. where they wanted to work. And within our industry, we had so many people. The biggest layoffs that occurred in Alaska, and I think nationally, were within the leisure and hospitality industry, which yeah. makes sense. Mm-hmm. Restaurants weren't operating, employees let go, hotels having to let people go. So it's still it's rebounding. So we got to get people back in those jobs to make this a successful industry.
Just a reminder, you're on the Buzz with Scott McRae. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Buzz will return on KFAR Radio right after this word from our sponsors.
Great deals all week at the Tannin Awe Herb Company. Munchy Mondays with 15% off all edibles. Train Wreck Tuesdays get you $20 six-pack boxes. Don't miss Thirsty Thursdays, 100 milligram hash-aid drinks for just $20. Funky Friday with Bongo half off. How about Shatter Saturdays? Gets you 20% off Frogman and Choice Extracts. Sunday Funday, you'll find Old Deli strains for just $10 a gram. Only at the Tannin Awe Herb Company's all-new retail store. From cultivation to manufacturing to retail. All under one giant 50,000 square foot roof. That's Tannin Awe Herb Company. Open 7 days a week off Wells Street. License number 14467. Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or heavy machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
We now return to The Buzz on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here talking to Scott McRae.
Explore Fairbanks. All right. Yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back. So a little bit earlier, we were talking about your the Explore Fairbanks is a non-for-profit 501c63 organization.
63,
excuse me. Since you're essentially a non-for-profit organization, how do you guys receive your funding?
Sure. Well, our primary source of revenue comes from the bed tax collections that occur at the government level. So The Fairbanks North Star Borough collects 8% bed tax from hotels and also Airbnb short-term rentals within the borough. And then same for City of Fairbanks and then City of North Pole. So we receive each one of those. I could talk forever about the different formulas in place for each one, but we receive a different distribution from each one of the three entities. City of Fairbanks, so borough, for example, 65% of the projected bed tax revenue comes to us. City of Fairbanks has a different formula, but we do get a majority of it. And then City of North Pole, we go through a grant process. So 80% of our revenue is coming from bed tax collections. The rest is coming from partnership revenue. And the bed tax collections is such a great formula because it's the we're here to help put heads in beds is kind of a big thing. We're trying to get people to come here and stay in local hotels. They're paying that you know, extra bed tax collection. It helps fund some different services for the city and for the borough. Rest goes to us, goes back into our marketing to put more heads in beds. So it's just it's a really good formula. That's pretty common for organizations like ours across the country, that those bed tax collections are in place to be able to aid the marketing efforts to bring more visitors to the region.
And you had mentioned Airbnbs. Is that something like a new over the last couple of years that they instituted a tax with that?
No, it's been I don't recall when they first instituted the bed tax collection for Airbnbs. But what I will say about Airbnbs and the whole short-term rental market is one thing that did come out of the pandemic is it's growing significantly. I think within the borough, this year compared to last year, there is somewhere like close to 30% more listings this year as opposed to last year. So it's a lot of people realize, you know, we're starting to see more visitors coming back. Hotels are filling up. There's definitely a market out there. A lot of people are saying, I want that Airbnb personalized experience, especially come to Fairbanks. It's a cabin somewhere or something like that. So So people are recognizing, you know, being the entrepreneurial spirit that we are here in Fairbanks, saying, "Yeah, this is a good thing to be able to do." So we're definitely seeing a growth within that region, and that's good because that's increased adding to the bed tax collections. And again, it's not just about the funds going to us. You know, those Airbnb owners, and the hotels. You know, part of that bed tax is going, you know, to the different government entity, as well as the property tax that the hotels pay and so forth. So it's just an example of the different ways the, you know, the industry is contributing to government funding on a larger level.
Fantastic. Man, I got to think of a different word than fantastic.
Need
my thesaurus. Amazing.
Amazing.
Legendary. Spectacular. I'll tell you what, though. So you had mentioned that some cannabis businesses are also a part of Explore
they
Fairbanks.
Are, yeah. We have a couple of partners.
Uh-huh. And we're going to be probably your third one here.
Excellent.
after talking to you, realizing that this is going on. Tell me a little bit about that. Now, your print ads go all over the country, and it's distributed by the U.S. mail. Are there some nuances when you have to advertise or like?
They're within like the listings that, a cannabis retailer, you know, the listing they would have within our visitor's guide. I can't recite verbatim what the requirements are. It's just got to be very careful about what's mm-hmm. being promoted mm-hmm. there. You know, similar, if there's a brochure, you know, being handed out down at our visitor's center. So we do have, again, partners within that industry. We know that it's, I would say what it's done for like the visitor industry, it's been like an added bonus to those mm-hmm. who are coming to Fairbanks or coming to Alaska for that matter. And that's something that they're interested in. That's something that's available to them here within the community to, I guess, enhance their visitor industry, their visitor experience while they're here in the destination.
So, talking about destinations, what do you think the biggest tourist draw in the summertime is? When people come to Fairbanks, where do you think they're generally going towards? Are they going to the hot springs? Are they going to Denali? Are they going up to the Arctic Circle? Or where do you think people generally go?
You know, it's kind of, we have different types. I mean, it depends on the visitor that's coming. So summertime visitors, so about 40% of this was like on a 2016 study, a little over 40% of visitors in the summertime are coming by way of cross Gulf Alaska cruise land tour packages. Mm-hmm. So the cruise industry mm-hmm. does impact Fairbanks. So those cruises that go to Seward or Whittier, those are the cross Gulf Alaska cruises. Those people can add on a land tour package that brings them up. Not all of them, but a lot of them will come up here to Fairbanks. That's when we see the Holland America, Princess, and all the different motor coaches around. So they're here for just a short amount of time and probably focus on some of the, you know, the primary industry attractions in the summer, Riverboat Museum, Gold Dredge, et cetera. Then you have your domestic independent travelers who are coming, and they might be looking for more of the hard adventure, especially some of mm-hmm. our international markets. So what they're looking for, because we have such a diversity of visitors who are coming in the summertime, what they're gravitating towards is really going to vary. But definitely the draw, the midnight sun thing, that's a huge draw right there.
Yeah, the midnight sun.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and KFARradio.com.
Awesome. Thanks, brother. That was quite nice.
yeah, my job's pretty tough here.
So what are some things other people, like locals here, can utilize Explore Fairbanks for? Finding new restaurants, finding little activities?
Just learning all that there is to see and do, this amazing place we call home. So, you know, back in 2020, when we realized, you know, going the summer season, visitors from outside weren't going to come here mm-hmm. For the most part, we shifted towards an Explore Fairbanks local campaign. So we were running, you know, ads, commercials, et cetera, targeting people in Fairbanks to come enjoy all these things that visitors from around the world come to see. So showcasing our amazing museums, trips up across the Arctic Circle, exploring the river, exploring our parks and recreation. Like, because a lot of times people they're not visitors in their own town.
Their own town,
and they're
just
not unaware that all that we have to offer here. So that's why I put in that plug. Come down to the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center. Go to our website, explorefairbanks.com, and just see all these amazing places that we have here in Fairbanks, right here in our own backyard that we can enjoy as residents.
Well, we haven't been up to the Arctic Circle, so.
You got
to
do that. Arctic Circle, it's amazing.
Well, we've been up to the Yukon Bridge. Is that above the circle?
No, close. No, not quite. No.
No. Now we use the ticket.
Keep driving. You got to drive a little bit.
You got to drive a little further.
Yeah. Huh?
maybe by boat. We went north.
Yeah, well, maybe so. In July, we usually go fish the Dahl River out there, just nice. North of the bridge, and go after pike. And it's pretty nice just to check out, not do anything for a few days.
Very much so.
No cell service.
No cell service. Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a blessing sometime.
Oh, yeah, that's the truth. So is there anything else that you, you'd like to talk about with tourism or here in Fairbanks?
I think it's going to be it's going to continue to grow. Yeah. I mean, it's we look ahead to the kind of the forecast of what's happening. We feel very confident in the return of the industry. One thing that we didn't talk about is the return of international markets. So we've been pretty strong in international markets, especially Asian countries, mm-hmm. when it comes to the Aurora season. And going into this year, we have a contractor in German-speaking Europe, for example, who represents us in that market. That's a big market for us there, which is why we have in the summertime, Condor Air does weekly flights from Frankfurt to Fairbanks.
No kidding.
Because that German market has been a big one for us for many years. This next year, the ones that are up and coming that we're excited to do some market investment in is India. Latin America, which are ones that were on the horizon there before the pandemic, they seem to be coming back to the U.S. stronger than other ones. So we want to have a presence in those markets as well.
Great, great. Yeah, that sounds wicked. Yeah, super fun.
You're getting there.
I know. I'm so enthralled with what you're saying that I forget to talk and spit out my words. It's kind of funny.
Well, going backwards though, like going back to Germany, you know, I'm sure the flights are a lot cheaper going, to Frankfurt. That sounds like a great plan.
Oh, yeah. You know? And that's one thing I want to mention here, too, that the visitor industry does in terms of making Fairbanks a better place for people who live here. The reasons why we have airlift like Condor coming here are in the mm-hmm. summertime. We have direct flights to Chicago, Minneapolis, et cetera. If we didn't have a visitor industry in place, those flights would not be here. Airlines invest in a new region mm-hmm. based on how well the visitor industry does. So, mm-hmm. and these are flights that don't just bring visitors here, but for people who live here in Fairbanks, it's their connection to the Lower 48 as well. And that's another thing of the many things we do. We work with the airport on airline development to try to bring new routes, new service to the region as well.
So are they looking for like sister cities on your website or for an example, like how do I find out that Frankfurt has these flights? Just basic.
Aside from just looking them up online,
it's a pretty. I mean, the number of the service that we have here to Fairbanks. So right now, with summer seasons over, right now our Lower 48 connection is Seattle, with both Alaska Airlines and Delta Airlines. Mm-hmm. Summertime is when we see these other. Services pop up. So just checking at the airport. Like I said, it's not that many. So this last summer we had the Frankfurt one, and then we had Delta with Minneapolis and United with Chicago, in addition to the flights to Seattle with Delta and Alaska. Last summer we had the most airlift ever we've had to really? Fairbanks. So we had American Airlines enter the market with flights to Dallas-Fort Worth. Delta added on a Salt Lake City. We had a low-cost carrier, Sun Country, that was doing weekly flights to Minneapolis. We actually had our most air service ever in Fairbanks in last summer, which is odd because we were still in that recovery mode. The cruise passengers weren't coming back, mm-hmm. but I think the airline saw the potential for investing in this region with the independent travelers and what they were looking to experience.
Do you think Canada and some restrictions kind of delayed people just taking the Alcan up north driving around?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that border was essentially closed all last summer. And this summer it opened back up. But in looking at some of those border crossing numbers that we track, I think the high fuel prices were kind of a deterrent to people wanting to make that RV trek across the country. So.
RV is a great way to see Alaska, though.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You had to get vaccinated, too, to go through
I'm Canada. Not sure if that's
They lifted that. They've changed. Yeah. They're not as restrictive as they were, the previous summer.
For just certain. Banning pistols is another story.
Yeah, it's our neighbors to the north.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Canada. We're French-Canadian. Not
bear protection.
Right on.
Well, Scott, we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for swinging on by. Again, this is Scott McCrae with Explore Fairbanks. You can check out the website at explorefairbanks.com for more information. And thank you so much, Brother Joe.
Oh, for more information on us, go to tannerherbcompany.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and our retail store is located at 1200 Well Street. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at kfarradio.com. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company on Well Street. License number 14467. To listen back to this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the KFAR website. This has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active and KFAR Radio.